Welcome to the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to deliver remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, a John Maxwell facilitator and coach.
And I'm Chris Godey, Vice President of the John Maxwell Company. Welcome, and thank you for joining us once again. Perry and I are excited about last week and the next couple of weeks as we talk about new kind of content, new what we call leadership competencies and areas of development for organizations that we've partnered with and developed some new content. And so just as a reminder, if you want to learn more about that, or if you want to download the show notes for today and the guide that Perry created for us, don't hesitate to visit johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. And you can leave a form and or request some more information, and we'll follow up with you in regards to that. Well, we talked about last week a new content piece with Jeff Henderson in the four content. Today we're going to talk about it, and the title for today is How Do You Build a Courageous Culture? And I'm like, man, that sounds good. Like that sounds a movie. That sounds like a movie we all want to be a part of and or take in. And I think we all want a culture like that. And we say, well, what are you guys talking about? Let me give you a little context behind this. I think just to set this up, it'll help you as we talk through today's content. We had an organization that we were partnering with that was in the manufacturing space. And they have been a partner of ours for a couple of years. We really helped build the foundation of a leadership culture, built common language and the beliefs and behaviors. We're beginning to see some shift with the culture there around leadership. And they came to us and they said, hey, we have a problem inside our organization. We're going to have to go a different direction next year because we really need to invest in really helping our people around safety. And we're like, yeah, no problem. We can recommend you to somebody. Like, talk to us more about how is there a way we can help you off the foundation that we've built. And Greg Kegel, one of our executive facilitators and coaches, is a lead on that account. And we began having conversations, and what we found was that they didn't have a safety problem. Matter of fact, their safety records were really good. They had a little bit of a culture problem. And so we said, hey, can we build off of what we've already helped you guys with in regards to leadership and culture and really kind of gear this towards safety and how do we help the culture really bring that to the front and to be aware of it? And so out of that came this content piece that was called Courageous Culture, and we built it for them, specific to the manufacturing industry. But then our team got in a room, and we said, hey, there are a lot of organizations that could really improve their culture, could have a courageous culture. And so we've kind of stepped back and did that. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to give you just, again, this is Perry and I being learners. We sat in a room and we experienced it, and we were like, man, this is our takeaway, and this is some good stuff. We just want to share that with you today.
I was, we've done a lot. You and I talk a lot about helping organizations develop a culture, a winning culture, a leadership culture.
Yeah.
This was really an eye-opener for me. I thought the way Greg framed this up was exceptionally good. It was built originally for a manufacturing organization where safety is of great importance, but I took away a number of things I think could fit for any organization. One, I like the way Greg kind of defined culture. We can always think about what does it, you know, feel like to work here? What is it, you know, how we do things here, those types of things. Greg said at the most basic level that culture was formed by how people in three things, how they think, act, and interact. And I found that simple thought to be very thought-provoking when you consider your own organization or team. How are people thinking? How are they acting? And how are they interacting? It'll tell you a lot about what's going on in your culture.
Yeah. And they are simple questions, but we actually had some good conversation around it because I think, you know, what are you thinking about as an individual inside your organization? Pretty simple. What actions then are you taking, right? What's the behavior? And then the one we really had a good conversation about to really unpack was, okay, well, how are we interacting with each other, right? And what does that look like? And what's the difference between, you know, the actions that we're taking and then the interactions we're having with our people?
Right.
And when you think about culture, and people often say, what's it feel like to work at whatever, XYZ? And in essence, what they're asking you is, what is the culture inside that organization? Because what does it feel like to work here? And so that third question no doubt was the most revealing for me about the culture, about how they interact with each other.
Yeah, and I found that when you think about how people interact with each other, I was reminded of our inclusive leadership course where we talk about people feeling, you know, if you're an inclusive leader, then people on your team feel safe, they feel welcome, they feel valued, they feel like they belong here. And that's a real culture statement as well. Another great question that Greg posed in the Courageous Culture was, you know, who is responsible for culture? And we said, well, you know, who's responsible for how people think, act, and interact? Leaders are. And then we said, well, then who's a leader? How do we define that? Well, influence, people with influence. Who should be developing this influence? Well, all of us should be
That's right.
So all of a sudden you think in culture, it flows from the top. The leaders set the tone on how people think, act, and interact, but it really is all of us are involved in that culture development.
Yeah, and I think he even posed a statement that said, leaders, we know we can't be everywhere at all times. And if you say you're the one that's responsible for culture, we got a problem, a big problem.
Yeah.
And that was just kind of a little, you know, another little eye-opening thing for me to begin thinking about. And that is so true. And I think you just explained it really well. All of us are responsible for this culture, this courageous culture. And the other takeaway, when we were going through this and he was leading us through this new content piece, a big takeaway for me was this, the four dimensions of a culture.
I thought so too, yeah.
And when you think about it, now we're talking about safety, okay? So this could be in education facilities, this could be in healthcare, this could be in manufacturing, it doesn't matter. But I was like, oh yeah, no, there are four dimensions of the culture. So this is what culture looks like. Everybody's responsible for it. Now let's talk about the fact that there are really four dimensions to it. And he's kind of built this out for us. And so what we'd like to do is just kind of, let's talk about them and give them to you, make some notes, and then think about this in regards to your leadership, your team, your organization. So the lowest dimension, or maybe the one at the bottom of the, where you kind of start.
By the way, I put this picture. We had a good picture of this. I put it in the learner guide. So if you want to see this picture as Chris is describing this, in the learner guide at johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. And I think the picture helped me a lot to see.
Perfect. Good.
It is like a almost like a funnel going up, and it's at the bottom at this lowest level of culture. So go
perfect.
Ahead.
Yeah. So being down there at the bottom, and it's really kind of has a negative effect on the culture when we talk about it being complacent is kind of the name of this dimension of this culture. And here it's where, and we've all been there before, we've seen it happen, where we rest on yesterday's success. Yeah. And we're just along for the ride. We're waiting for our paychecks on Friday, and we're okay with just maintaining status quo. In regards to safety and where we went with, you know, this content and the organization, you can imagine the problems that would happen here. And instead of kind of being proactive and preventing and staying sharp, you just kind of are reacting to issues, and you kind of, again, just resting on yesterday's success. And what's interesting, if you remember just a couple minutes ago, I talked about the organization we first partnered with to develop this content. They had great safety, but they became complacent in some areas. And unfortunately, the reason they had to go after this training was because an accident happened because of some complacency.
Right.
And so that's how we kind of came up with the bottom one there. So listen, as I mentioned a minute ago, this is a problem for culture in non-manufacturing organizations as well. I think about it inside our organization. And if we have people that are becoming complacent, it is a level three or a production killer inside your culture.
Well, a lot of the organizations we work with right now are having the best years they've ever had.
Yes.
And I ask them, what is your biggest concern? Complacency, because success begets complacency.
Yeah.
Look what we did.
Yeah.
And we're all looking at yesterday and not at tomorrow.
What's that statement that they say where good times, good habits are developed in bad times? Bad habits.
Yep.
Are developed where we become complacent in good times.
That's exactly right. The next dimension, if you could, so going up the funnel there, is of this courageous culture is called compliant. So you had the complacent, now up to compliant. That the level of compliancy is really driven by process, procedure. You try to avoid mistakes, follow the rules, just keep doing what you're doing. in that safety environment that we were mentioning. This is about, you know, having checklists and following the rules, doing what you're told, but not really owning safety as a value. It's just a checklist type of a thing. I think about this in non-manufacturing environments and some of our other corporate clients about compliant culture where people, you know, how will people think, act, and interact based on their own self-interest? It really is a rule-following, process-driven type of a culture. You're going to always have a compliant component. There are compliant things. We're not by any means saying that
go off the rails.
You leave these and go to the very top. You always have a point of that. But if you're completely 100% a compliant culture, it's going to drive a problem with progressing, with change management, with anything that gets away from the rules and the process that we have.
Yeah. The other thing I thought too about this was how many organizations, how many situations, how many leaders have you been a part of where it's like, because I said so, right? And you become compliant because it's like, because I said so, versus having conversations and dialogue around the why behind that checklist or the why behind this and being okay with that, because otherwise, if you're not doing that, it is going to be strictly a compliant. Now, do we need to have pieces of that? Absolutely. Yes. And like you said, there are things that we have to be compliant to, but I think there's ways to go about it. Well, the third dimension, so the next one up in the funnel that you'll see on the notes that Perry created for us of culture in this courageous model is committed culture. And when we talk about, you know, people think, act, and interact in a way that shows that they are committed to a certain set of values and the goals of the organization has established. This is where I think we talk about discretionary effort and we talk about people being, you know, productive because of the fact that they are wanting to be there, wanting to be a part of the team, wanting to follow their leader. I think this is where you get that committed culture inside the organization.
Right. It's a lot of energy that goes. You think about the energy of a compliant culture, energy of a complacent culture, now an energy of a committed culture.
That's right. You can just feel the difference. Yeah.
That leaves us the fourth dimension of culture under this courageous culture, and that that is about courageousness. That captures it's a culture where people think, act, and interact driven by purpose. You think they understand the why. In the safety environment, that means. I just loved it when he communicated this, was saying, what's the difference between a committed culture under safety and a courageous culture? Really is around in a courageous safety environment. I look out for you. Mm. You look out for me. It's much more than following rules and procedures, which would be compliancy. It's about having the courage to confront each other when those rules or procedures are not being followed. And he had some fantastic examples. You see in something that somebody's not being compliant and they're not even committed to the values, but you had the courage to speak out and to hold each other because your biggest value is seeing your colleague go home safe from
That's
work
right.
today.
Love that.
In a non-manufacturing environment, I think this is also important where people think, act, and interact with a bigger purpose in mind. And I think in a high-performance environment, we're really how we help each other. We care for each other. We have trust in each other. We also challenge each other and look out for each other. And you think of what a cool environment that would be to know that in whatever effort we're making for whatever product or service that we provide, that we are in it together. And that measure of trust is at a level of courageousness to step in, be vulnerable, help each other, express weakness, ask for help, that I know that my colleagues, that we support each other in a courageous way.
Well, what I love about what you just said, and I think is very true with this model, as we lay this out, these four dimensions of culture for you, is just like in the five levels of leadership that Perry and I have talked about, you're on different levels with different people all the time. Matter of fact, you actually will lean on different levels. For example, let's say that Perry and I have a level four relationship with each other. At times, Perry may have to look at me, and he does often with the title of the podcast, and says, that is what you're going to do. And because of our relationship, because of the trust there, I say yes, and then he makes me stumble over the title of the podcast. Similar into these four dimensions of the culture that Gray's kind of brought to light and helped this organization with, which, by the way, the reason we're so passionate about it, we are 18 months into this organization, and the feedback and the testimonies we hear from just the aha moments are unbelievable. And so there's this has resonated extremely well with them. But when we talk about the fact that there are these four different dimensions, we want you to know, just like the five levels, that you never leave a previous level behind either,
right?
So sometimes as a leader, you have to go to different levels to lead in certain situations. And with trust, you can do that. But also, you just don't become a level three leader and you leave behind the fact that you need to connect with your people. Right. And so it's the same thing here. You know, we can have this courageous culture, but you're also going to have committed culture at times. You're going to have areas where you're going to have a compliant culture. You have departments that maybe lean a little bit more on certain parts of the culture. And so we just wanted to make sure that when you begin thinking about this is a very fluid and a dynamic model in regards to culture that I believe it could be a language that you begin speaking internally with your organization that would create some aha conversations. Yeah. And not only that, but then also increase the safety, increase the culture. Again, what does it feel like to work here? Think, act, interact. Very simple. But I think that's just a powerful way to explain it.
Right. You can almost take any challenge that you're facing and put it up against that model and say, that's not the challenge is not what you think it is. It's a culture problem.
Yeah.
And it really is driven by think, act, and interact. And that's a little assessment you can do. I want you to wrap up, but just thinking about how can I tell where I am is by maybe paying attention to how people are thinking, how are they acting, how are they interacting with each other. If they're resting on success and thinking about, the last great success we had and they're acting like that was the best we can do and they're interacting at we don't need to change, that may be a complacent culture that you're in. But if they're, think, acting, and react, interacting on process, rules, procedures, and that, just sticking close to the game plan, that's probably compliancy. And if they're really focused on production and supporting each other and producing the results, think and act and interact around that, then it's probably committed. And if you really see purpose and a bigger picture and looking out for each other and that care that's in there, then it's probably courageous. So I love this. It's really got me thinking a lot about when I see our culture and what we do.
Yeah.
Where are we?
Yeah. And every organization out there, every team has a culture. One way or another, it is happening, right? And here for me, this wraps it up. I want a culture that encourages courageous action. Does that mean in a meeting, speaking up and making sure your voice is heard? Does that mean bringing an idea to the table that may be absolutely crazy, but will benefit the end user or the consumer? Does that mean that we're on the shop floor and you need to step up and say, no, not today? Does that mean you see somebody that maybe is getting ready to get on a piece of heavy equipment and you know it's probably not the best day for them to be on that piece of equipment? And you say, hey, maybe not today. Creating that culture takes courageous action. And I think when you begin thinking about and breaking down like Greg has done for us with this and has served some of our clients so well over the last 18 months, I'm super excited to be able to now be able to bring this to our current partners and people that are out there in the business world. So, man, as I wrap up, let us help. Let Greg help, let Perry, let our team help, and let us bring this to you guys virtually or in person. We would love to begin talking about what that looks like inside your organization. And you can do that by, again, visiting johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast, and we'll follow back up with you there.
And just that's where the learner guide is, and that's where you can leave a question or a comment. And we always love hearing from you, and we're very grateful that you would spend this time with us. That's all today from the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast.